Well, praise the Lord. Here we are in Christmas. Christmas is in full swing. Ready or not? Who's ready? Raise your hand. Who's done with all their stuff? Oh, man. Who isn't ready and who isn't done with all their stuff? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We have people in our camp. You know, it can be a trying time, Christmas, right? It can be a struggle. And it can be interesting as you try to determine what gifts you give to people. Not every gift given has the same magnitude about it, right? I mean, it's one thing to give a person a bag of coffee, or to give somebody a shirt that you find, or a toy that they wanted. Those things are wonderful. But when you start thinking about and having, and talking with your spouse about what gifts you give to people, and one spouse wants to give somebody a dog. Oh, that's a great gift, but there's a whole nother level of discussion about that, right? And what's required of it. Or what if one wants to give their grandson at 9 a pocket knife? Oh, been there, done that. You know, in my day when you were 9, you got pocket knives. But you know, what's the first thing that happens with a 9-year-old that gets a pocket knife? They cut themselves. That's just rite of passage. And so some of us dads go, well, that's just normal. But that seems a little barbaric in this day and age. Why am I giving them something to cut themselves with? And just don't cut other people with it, right? So and I laugh myself silly because my, Reese, don't we laugh ourselves silly about that? I remember when Reese was 9 and his Uncle Jay gave him a gift. He had both hands cut faster than you could say lickety-split. And then I turn around and he's got his fingers in his mouth and I see blood coming out of his mouth. I go, what'd you do? I thought he had cut his mouth, and no, it's just his fingers in his mouth. It happens. All of us who have owned knives at that age cut ourselves. We did. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. So it's one thing, right? And you have discussions, and those discussions can sometimes be a little bit heated. As you try to determine what gifts to give. And it can be heated between husband and wife. You can give some really wonderful gifts, but it can be a struggle sometimes to determine what gifts should we give. You know, God gave us a gift in his son at Christmas, a wonderful gift. But you know, Joseph and Mary had a bit more than a discussion about this gift, didn't they? And they had a bit more than just a struggle. And God knew that this gift came with a few strings attached for those who'd be receivers of this gift and be bearers of this gift that would ultimately be given to the world. What a wonderful thing. But it didn't come without a little bit of heat and a little bit of weight and a whole lot of change. How do we grow? How do we, at Christmas time, say yes to God? When there's so many things expected of us, and so many things and directions we can go, and we have so many expectations ourselves, how can we say yes to God in his plan? Because God also has a will and a plan for us. How can we grow in righteousness through the Christmas season rather than just get sour or depressed in the Christmas season? How are we to fulfill our calling to be a part of his plan and bless others as well as be blessed ourselves? That's God's intention. It's Christmas time. God's got a plan at Christmas, just as he does at all times of the year. But that plan can have some weight to it as we seek to discern that plan and seek to understand what it is and then walk in it, where the blessings are. So this morning, we want to go to the Christmas story. And we want to take a look at the Christmas story in the Gospel of Matthew. It's a little anticlimactic. It's, you can definitely see that a guy wrote this book, right? But he has other intentions. And so you don't get all the great characters and all the great stories that you do in the Gospel of Luke, which is really the more fun gospel to look at. You just get the facts. And it doesn't really color in the lines, and it lets you read between the lines because you know that certain things are there. And so we want to read the Christmas story from Matthew's account, because it says something to us about finding and receiving God's plan, about accepting God's plan at Christmas and walking in it. So, if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and let's read what Scripture has to say to us. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Just consider that for a moment, right? We've heard read this story. We all know this story. But just see the weight of that already. Okay? That's a weighty thing already. This is full and ripe with all sorts of blessings and conflicts and everything else. Let's keep going. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, because we know what the law had to say about somebody who had sex outside of marriage and somebody who was pregnant before marriage. The severeness of the law was you'd be put to death. But not at this time, not most people were. But you would definitely be ostracized, and you'd definitely lose some things and more than likely be divorced. So let's go on. And it says here that he was faithful to the law, and yet he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Wow. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's actually true. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, it says that he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate, that means he didn't have sex, didn't consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Wow. That is a powerful story. A powerful story for you and me at Christmas. How do we discover God's plan? How do we grow in righteousness? You saw Joseph grow before your eyes, even though you didn't get much than the fact that he acted in one way, and then he acted in a different way. And he was fully bought in to what God was doing. Huge. How do we also buy into what God's doing? How also do we find his plan? Because we're frail human beings. We have a perspective. We think we know the direction we're going, and we're going there by faith. And yet the trouble is, we're following a Lord who has a will and is revealing his will to us one step at a time. One step at a time. And here is a big step for them. So here's the first thing we have to do, right? If we're going to receive this plan, we have to be mindful of and to see our common sense is not necessarily God's will. Okay? I'm here to tell you this morning, if you didn't know, and most of us know that, it's pretty basic. Your common sense, my common sense, are not necessarily the will of God. They're just our sense from our perspective, our background, our education, our perspective, our gender, whatever it may be. And it's common to us. And we have to operate at that level most of the time in life. But it's not necessarily the will of God. And are you open to know that? Do you realize that about yourself? You could be wrong, and you may be wrong more than you know about what God's true will is for you in a given situation. And you know what? He knows that. He still loves you. He's with you. But do we know that? Marriage worked differently back in the day of Mary and Joseph, right? It was different. Most of the time, the husbands were older than the wives that were younger, okay? And you would be betrothed. That means you would enter engagement, and it would last about a year. And during that time, you had all, you were considered legally, communally, spiritually wed and bound to one another. And in that society, the husband had all the rights and the privileges, or basically the responsibility over his spouse, which was his wife. And so you were basically married. The only thing you had left was the public ceremony and then the night where you consummate the marriage in sexual union. That's how marriage went. That was what was prescribed in the law. That's how their culture practiced marriage. So when the text says that Joseph was a righteous man who was trying to figure out how to show kindness to his pregnant wife by dissolving this union privately, the text is implying that Joseph is a pretty good guy, but Joseph feels stuck between a rock and a hard place. Amen? He's stuck. He's stuck. For all intents and purposes, his wife has broken not only the law of the land, but the law of God. And here he is. What's he going to do? And he's thought long and hard of it. A righteous man could have nothing to do with this. A righteous man would have to side by the law and say, well, that's it then. We're done. And we're moving on. We know that Mary has told him something, but the scripture never tells us how much Mary told him beforehand, right? And it's one thing to get the secondhand information, right? But Mary got an angel that came to her. There ain't no angel yet that's come to Joseph. And so Joseph's kind of looking at this human counterpart over here and wondering, I don't know about this. I don't know if I can accept this, right? Mary told him something that was impossible and in his mind could not be true. Mary had told him that, and he simply could not believe it. Do you see that with Joseph? He could not receive it. Mary has done wrong in his mind. Common sense would tell me that 99% of the time. And my experience would tell me that. And as a righteous man, I've got to address it. Therefore, Joseph thought through the situation. Don't you love a guy who will actually take the time to think something through? And he thought it through, and he had a logical plan, and he even had a compassionate plan for rightly dealing with this hurtful and dishonoring and relation-ending set of circumstances. He was committed. He was taking the higher road, and he was intent on following through on his plan. You know, I used to call myself, I say this around my family, they all laugh. I'm Mr. Flexible. And they'll go, ha! I am until I make a decision. Right? Aren't you like that? Some of you? You finally make a decision on what direction you go in. I don't always make decisions very quickly, but once I do, now that's the direction I'm going. And like some of you, whether you're men or women, it doesn't matter, you have a certain personality type, we're just like one another on that. Our gauge is set, we see where we're going, we know what's right, that's happening. Come, you know, this or high water, right? It don't matter. Doesn't matter, because that's where we're going. And if you're not like that, it might seem strange to you. But I'm always saying, I'm flexible. I can make an assortment of decisions and choices to go assortment of directions, but just once I start going there, don't try to tell me I have to change and go this way. And I have people in my family that love plans to be optional. Don't you? I mean, we'll no sooner set a plan for vacation than we'll have like 3 or 4 or 5 different revisions and alternatives. And I'm like, just get me in once you decide what the top plan is or the top two is. Are, right? So Joseph was probably a man like that. He was a carpenter. He knew how things worked. He was a man who had to get things done. I can't just talk about stuff. I actually get it done and do it. And so he was a man like that. And so to him, he was ready to follow through on his plan. He'd made his mind up. And so God knows us, and the Lord knew Joseph. And that's when the angel of the Lord shows up. When he's made his mind up, what he's going to do. Now God is coming to talk to him. But he shows up to Joseph in a dream. And in this dream, he confirms the truth of the situation, that Mary, what Mary has said is true, and he reveals to Joseph that he has a role to play alongside Mary. This gift is coming, and you're going to be the foster dad. Oh, yeah, it's you, Joseph. You're going to be in the line of all these people that in the beginning of Matthew chapter 1 that were in the genealogy, you're going to fall right in there. They'll remember your name, and you're going to play a role. And he is like, I'll bet at first he's like, oh, goody. You know, what? Can't I just be the uncle to the Son of God? Am I going to really be the daddy? I always tell, you know, Brady had a dog, and he was trying to give that dog away, and I said, I'm a grandpa to dogs. I'm an uncle to dogs. I'm really not going to be the parent, but we found a parent over here, so that dog found a home, and it's a sweet dog. I love that dog dearly. From a, you know, play with it, and okay, later, right? So, this angel confirms to him his role alongside Mary. In fact, his participation, he found out, was vital not only for Mary, but for the Messiah as well. Because Joseph was in the line of David. Wow. You know, I'd say some of us, we trust way too much in our common sense, and we trust it too often, and we follow our common sense way too often rather than going to God. It's just kind of the natural human way of dealing with stuff. And we have to deal with some things that way, but we need to not be reliant on our common sense. I've thoroughly thought through a given situation. I've thoroughly considered all the options and nuances. I've even checked in the Bible to ensure that I am faithful to do what I'm supposed to be doing. Yet in all my thinking, all my seeking, all my deciding, sometimes I have not yet, and sometimes you have not yet heard the Lord reveal his actual will in a matter. He hasn't told you the what, the when, the why. You've assumed. You've assumed it. Sometimes we have to get it. We have to ask the Lord then, is this your will? You know, I saw Peter walk on the water. Jesus, call me. You better make sure Jesus is calling you. You're going to step out of the boat, or you're going to be going down into the water, right? Jesus, God, you held back the waters so they could walk through on dry land. They had to step into the raging waters. I'm going to trust you, Jesus. I'm stepping in. Well, yeah, trust Jesus and step in if Jesus has said, come on. But if Jesus hasn't said, come on, don't do it, because you're going to be swept away, right? Because God has given that promise to one person doesn't always mean he's given it to us. Some scriptures, all those promises are given to us, and we know they're given to all believers. But some of the specific will of God, which is about you being conformed into the image of Christ, those things you got to hear from the Lord. Joseph had to hear it from the Lord. We have to hear it from the Lord. Again, I say our common sense is not necessarily God's will. He could not get this through study. He could not get this through talking to all of his buddies. He could not get this from thinking outside of the box. This had to be revealed by the Holy Spirit, by the angel of the Lord to him. And I would say that needs to happen a lot for our lives too. It does. We live by faith many times, and we're not quite sure, but when it comes to the major parts of our lives, we need to hear from the Lord, and it needs to be from the Lord that we hear. Our common sense is not necessarily the will of God. It wasn't for Joseph, and it isn't for us, so relying on it would have caused Joseph to miss his calling. Did you see that? Had Joseph followed the conventional wisdom of the church of the day, of believers of the day, he would have missed his calling. That's huge. He would have missed God's plan. He would have not been the blessing God intended him to be, nor would he have been blessed. We need to see that in the story. Well, I better keep going. If we're going to keep growing in righteousness, though, we got to keep going. So this whole common sense thing, we need to go beyond that. And this is where we need to go. We've got to journey through the cycle of acceptance. Because once we hear the will of God, and it's in an area that makes us fearful, because this made Joseph fearful, and the angel said to him, don't be afraid. He was afraid. If we're going to go forward in righteousness, we have to journey through the cycle of acceptance. So when unpleasant circumstances present themselves, we and cannot be changed, or when God, when we know God is asking us to do something that's difficult or something simply we don't want to do or outside of our comfort zone, we've got to journey through this cycle. And I just want to touch on this cycle. And you can see some of the tenets of it up on the screen behind me. So I want you to consider these steps to go through. When something new and difficult is presented to you, first off, we resist the new perspective. We resist the new attitude that we're being asked to have. We resist going the direction that we're asked to go. That's just normal, and some of us are really good at that when God comes. Joseph resisted. He definitely resisted. We respond, whoa, what? Our brows crinkle. What? We flash even with anger and amazement. I'm being asked to do what? How might you have responded if Mary would have told you her story behind her pregnancy? Think about it. How might you have responded? I would have said, okay, Mary. All right, let's sit down. Let's talk about this a little more. You know? Really, what we should have done is let's sit down and let's pray over this and ask the Lord to reveal to us whether this is of Him or not and to give us evidence. So we resist. Well, after you resist, what do? The next step to acceptance, you hit resignation, right? So we acknowledge our fears at this stage. We acknowledge our perceived costs. Of this new idea or this new direction in light of our present circumstances and even in light of our comfort zone. We assess it. What's this gonna mean to me? And you know that that's what Joseph did. I appreciate that Joseph was a man of reflection. The way Matthew tells it, Joseph didn't jump to decisions, just knee-jerk, like maybe some of us might. He took his time to think about it. And then the angel comes as God's agent, and he asks him to do something different than what he was going to do and he thought was right. I assume that Joseph also thought carefully about that too, because he probably did. He goes, oh my gosh, here I am. Think about it. I wonder what might have happened, and I wonder what might happen if you and I thought more about our roles as Joseph's, like Joseph did. We play the same role many times, asked to do something in support of others and for the sake of others, or so that those others can fulfill their calling. Would we act like him? Would we think it through? If we took more time to reflect on those things in our relationship with the people around us, and we consider what God has asked them to do, and then how we might support them as we wait for a second coming, what difference might that make? I was always kind of slow to get to that point. I was always first, just like you, thinking about myself, me. What does this mean to me? And I thought second, and a far second, what does that mean for others? What does that mean for my family? What does that mean for my children? What does that mean for people I have yet to know? What does that mean for this community? See, that's an important question to ask, isn't it? We don't live in a vacuum. We live in a world, in a community that God has placed us in. We are all interconnected. And we all support each other's callings to one degree or another. Did you realize that? Leaders can't lead if followers don't follow, right? And followers won't follow if leaders don't lead. It's something where we work together. Wow. My sense is that God understood how best to communicate with Joseph. You know, so I find it interesting that the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream rather than a face-to-face meeting like Mary. He knew Mary. He knew he could show up and talk straight to her. Probably her personality type. Just like he can do that with God. I called her God. My wife, Jody. She's not God, but I called her God. God can come and just say something to Jody, and Jody has that yieldedness and that ability to accept it from the Lord. Whereas when the Lord comes to me, you know, I need a little more than that. Because I just the way God made me. And so my sense is that God understood that, how to best communicate to Joseph, so that his heart and his spirit could hear clearly what God was saying. Our minds, our routines, our habits, our perspectives can get in the way. Our conscious minds have so many barriers and objections to things because we're used to thinking and moving in a certain way. So our conscious minds have these things. They have fears, and they fear new thoughts, new ideas, new behaviors, new routines. And so sometimes it can be difficult for us to accept anything outside of what we've come to believe, outside of anything we've gotten used to, or even when this new thing is actually true. It's difficult for us because our conscious mind has created all these other things as barriers. Do you get that? I hope you do. Yeah. See, but truth can come to us in a dream or in a place close to a dream state where many of those barriers are down. And we can understand it more clearly because we're more open. See, I don't know about you, but I've learned something in prayer. I've learned that Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. So when I come to the Lord in prayer, it's not so much about what I have to say to him, it's what he has to say to me. And it's me being in his presence. So many times I will try to stop. And I'll be in what I would call a state, some people call it a state of calmness that's right before sleep. I used to call it soaking in the Lord. It's like when you're in a bathtub and you're just kind of feeling good in the bath, and you've got your head under, so you can't hear anything, and you're just soaking there. And you're looking and you're listening. You're really listening. You calmed yourself, your heart. You're ready to receive. See, I have found that God speaks to me when I put my conscious mind in place. So when I get in a shower, many times God speaks to me in the shower. If I'm brushing my teeth, many times God's spoken to me while I'm brushing my teeth. Because I must get in a meditative state. You know, when I'm sleeping, God will, and even, I'll wake up, because I always wake up before my alarm, but I listen and talk to the Lord either before sleep or after sleep, for quite some time before I ever move and get up, because I can hear there and I can express my heart. So can you. And we need to listen to the Lord. So I think God knew Joseph. Joseph was going to have all sorts of objections. He was a man of action. He was a carpenter, but he was also thoughtful. And not that carpenters aren't thoughtful, but he was thoughtful. And God knew, I got to speak to him differently, so I'm going to. Man, so glad he did, and so glad he knows us. But finally, in this path of acceptance, we get to acceptance. And see, we search for acceptance and to get to acceptance while we're dealing with things and we're listening. And finally, we accept, and we think that acceptance is the end of the trail for the cycle of acceptance. But it's not, isn't it? You can be before the Lord struggling with things, intending to do things your way, and then God brings something brand new to you and says, I really want you to do this. You struggle with it. You fight with it. Then you finally accept it. But just because you accept it, is that it? No. There's one final step, and it's called embracing it. You embrace it. I'm here to tell you, I've accepted a lot of things that I embraced one step at a time over time. Or where I really resist embracing at all. I accept it, but I don't really want to embrace it. That is an important step of surrender. Embracing that new truth and acting upon it. It's one thing to accept God's challenging and miraculous will for your life. It's a whole nother thing to embrace it in faith. Because when you embrace something in faith, you act upon it. And you don't just act reluctantly, you act in faith upon it. Several times in my walk with the Lord, I've had to get to that point and work through. I struggled with embracing things. But as I kept taking the steps, I finally was able. I'm here to tell you something. That struggle to embrace God's will doesn't always have to be that way. We can grow and we can grow up. And this passage in Scripture is an encouragement to you and I. I remember the day I told the Lord, I apologize for being such a rough road to you. I apologize for always questioning you on everything. And I am ready just to receive it and walk in it. Well, God knew, yeah, you're pretty ready, but you're not there yet. You're not as ready as you think you are, but that is exactly right, and I appreciate your growth and your honesty about that. And so here we go. Keep embracing my will for your life, Kelly, and I'll do what I want to do through it. So we continue to do that. I'm sure Joseph had some tentativeness. But as he embraced God's will for him, we see that in verses 24 through 25, this is what it tells us. If you want to go back to that in your Bible. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. His mind was convinced. His imagination had been touched. And he was able to hear God at a spirit and heart level, not just a mind level. And he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage. It takes a lot for a man to do that and to walk through with that until she gave birth to a son. And he indeed gave him the name Jesus. He followed through to the end. Isn't it cool to watch Joseph grow in righteousness? He was able to change. He was able to learn. He was able to discern the will of God and embrace God's calling on him and God's great plan. That is so cool to see. And we can too. We can be encouraged to walk as he walked. But the third step we need to take is to realize, and it's my third point, your faith obedience supports the calling of another. So important to see that here. It's through Joseph's willingness to heed the word of the Lord from the angel that Mary and the vulnerable baby Jesus were supported. Because he was willing, therefore they would be supported, protected, provided for. And it is through his family lineage, as being a descendant of the son of David, that Jesus would be called the son of David. Wow. And do you realize, other than Jesus and David, in Scripture, Joseph's the only other man that God, the angel of the Lord, said to him, son of David, Joseph, son of David. What an honor. God had so much belief in him. He knew what he wanted to do through him. And he trusted in him, even though he knew he had to grow. He had to grow and choose by faith to choose God's will. By saying yes to Jesus, by being willing to accept God's way of leading him now, which was a different way than he'd been taught, Joseph joins Mary as a model of faithfulness. Wow. He plays this role now of a silent support in the background. We never get much information about his personal feelings. In fact, at the death of Jesus, he was no longer around, it appears. It appears that after they had a few more kids, he must have died because people didn't live real long in those. But you never hear an account of his death. And he's just gone. Played his role. So thankful for him. Consider but his support, his saying yes, of being part of God's plan. Consider what it did for the world. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you for playing it. You were never the center stage. You never were, but you had such an important supporting role. Thank you. So the angel tells Joseph to not be afraid to marry Mary. God's message to Joseph is, don't be afraid to do the thing I'm asking you to do, even if it looks like the wrong thing to do. Even if it makes you afraid, don't be afraid. Be willing. Be willing. And Joseph was. He was willing to sacrifice his pride because people were going to talk. Not everybody would believe the story of the incarnation, that she was actually his wife, was impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God, and he'd have to deal with that socially and relationally. People were going to talk, but Joseph set that aside. He decentered himself, and he lifted up another into the central place. He said, this is my job. This is my calling. So as we close this morning, I just want to ask you some important questions, and they're simple. Who are the Josephs in your life? Who are the people that you truly need and have needed to play supporting roles so that you might fulfill the calling God has placed on you? Who are they? And then who are you called to be a Joseph too? Who are you called? Your faith obedience will lift them up. Your faith obedience will help them accomplish their call so that God is glorified. Who has God placed you in their lives so that you might help them be what they were created to be? And it's got to go beyond your family and your children and your spouses, right? Our faith obedience as individual believers, or our lack thereof, not only affects us, but it affects others as well. We oftentimes think, well, if I just decide, you know, I don't have to really do this. I can only do that. I don't have to really keep following the Lord. I don't have to really. I told a young guy who's in his 20s his day, I go, look, I'm in my early 60s. Excuse me, I'm not that old yet. I'm in my early 60s. I go, I'm still becoming a disciple. I'm still a disciple. It's not going to end until Jesus comes back or until I go into the grave. So I've got to keep walking by faith and not shrink back. And in part, because my faith affects your faith and your faith affects my faith. And we've been called to build each other up in love. Are we getting the point? You and I fulfilling, you fulfilling your calling in faith supports another, and many others fulfilling their call in faith. That's the way it works, and vice versa. So who are we called to be a Joseph too? And who are the Josephs in our lives? Joseph's become a pretty important person, hasn't he, now? Even though we don't know much about him. I want to invite you to stand, and let's close in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to answer that question for each of us. Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you for the Christmas story, that every time we come to your word, and every time we come to these familiar stories, we can see something new, something timely, something that we need to grow in and be changed in. Lord God, we know that your Son has come and he is the Savior of the world. We pray, Father, that others would see your light and your presence in us and want what we have. We pray that we would play the role that we've been called to play, that others may know you, Lord Jesus, and others may submit their lives to you as Lord and Savior and be saved. We pray, Father, that you would give us clarity where we're not receiving your will, where we haven't thoughtfully and prayerfully come to you, where we've tried just to operate with you in our conscious mind, but we've never connected with you on a spiritual level, at a spirit level and a heart level. God, come and move in us and do something new. God, bring your kingdom on this earth and may it go forward through us. And may it go forward through the way we celebrate Christmas this year. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said together,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, before you leave this morning, I imagine I've got some of this right. That this side over here, we want to just take all those chairs back. We'll move those tables out, and we'll stack them 7 high against that back wall. The center section in this section goes up against this wall, 7 chairs high. And we do have hand trucks to move them, or we've got big, beefy guys to carry them. So we can all work together like that. But that would help us get ready for the dinner tonight. Amen? And then we would just want to invite you to come. 5 o'clock here. Come ready to enjoy. Bring a dessert, if you can. Or come anyhow, no worries. Or stop somewhere and get one. Yeah.